Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, Crossroads, great to be with you today. Following up that level of cuteness is always tough. But I'm so glad that you're here. We are in week 5 of this series on Surprise the World, and we are taking a lot of things that you already do and saying, can we do them with a little more intentionality? Can we make them everyday habits that we incorporate into our lives? And it's not complicated. We're trying to keep it incredibly simple, following in the way of Jesus, being on mission with Jesus. And next week, as we wrap up this series, there's going to be an opportunity for you to write down some stories. You know, have you put any of this into practice and what your story might have been? So far, we've talked about it's that Bell's model. We've talked about B, what it would look like to bless 3 different people a week. Perhaps one of them, somebody who doesn't go to church. What does it look like to eat with intentionality, to spend time around a table, a cup of coffee, just being with other people and just being able to have good conversations? Last week, we talked about listening, carving out at least one period of time each week to be able to just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And these stories that you get to share next week, don't think, man, they have to be grand, they have to be complicated. It can be incredibly simple. I could say, you know, I had a friend. He was going through a rough time. I reached out to him and said, hey, can we get together for a breakfast for a cup of coffee? Now, in that area, I got to bless and eat at the same time. I could write a story saying, you know, I know one of the best ways for me to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit is to just go on a walk. No phone, no headphones, just walk and just be with Jesus. That could be a simple story. But if you haven't cultivated the story yet, you still have 7 days to do just that. We'd love to be able to hear from you next week, to be able to write out some kind of a simple story, a way that you have been living this out, applying what we have been learning. And today we want to talk about what it looks like to learn. What does it look like to learn Jesus? How does that go in our lives? And you're going to hear Frost, if you're in a small group or you're reading the book, he's going to, once again, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to carve out a period of time each week where you are just learning Jesus. Your focus might be marinating, reading through the Gospels, coming to better understand the character, the person of Jesus, looking at his teachings, reading through them. But it isn't about just taking it in. It isn't about just studying, because I'm so glad that Frost explains later on, because the word learn, for some of us, we think, oh, it's only what we study. It might be the scripture that we memorize. It might be what we read. But Frost makes it incredibly clear that when we talk about learning, it's about knowing and applying. As a matter of fact, he might put it like this, which would be the formula for learning for him. It means to know and to apply. We don't get bonus points just for knowing. We need to apply as well. Think about it a little bit like this. You would love to be a pilot someday. Your dream is to be a pilot. So you just start reading like instruction manuals for different models of airplanes. You're reading books on what it means to be a pilot. You are watching those YouTubes where there are the airlines that are landing in the incredibly difficult crosswinds around the world. It's just fascinating. You get on an airplane, and as a passenger, you travel to different parts of the world. You buy Microsoft Flight Simulator, and you already have 5,000 hours in. If we would go to your home and we'd go to your basement, we might find something that looks like this. And you know that a yolk is more than just about eggs. You know that a rudder is more than just about boats. You got a quad throttle. I mean, you could fly a 747, baby, right? This is what you've been doing. It's your passion. You have been studying. You have so much knowledge. But the question is this. The question is, are you a pilot? Are you a pilot? No, maybe let me ask it a different way. Later on this afternoon, you go to your local airport. You climb in behind the controls. Are any of your family members or friends getting in the airplane with you? And now we're like, oh, absolutely not. There's no way, Doug, because it's all about knowledge. You have all this knowledge, but you've not applied it in the real world in a real airplane. And when we talk about learning Jesus, it's not just knowing him. It's not just studying. It's not just being in the word and working our way through the gospels. It's coming to really understand his character, to take his teaching and to live it out in our own lives, to apply it in everyday life. We understand that knowledge only takes us so far. We understand that knowledge with application isn't what it's all about. We understand that this whole idea of learning is so much more. And at the end of the Sermon of the Mount, the Sermon of the long, beautiful Sermon of Jesus, where he has so much beautiful teaching. We talk about the Beatitudes, what it looks like to pray and be in connection with our Heavenly Father, about not judging others, how we're to deal with our enemies. He talks about lust. And I mean, the list goes on and all these beautiful, profound teachings that we are not just to know about, but we're supposed to live out, apply as a disciple of Christ. These things that just so influence our worldview, how we view the world and how we relate and interact with people around us. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to wrap up this profound teaching. And he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. And what Jesus has to say here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and what we hear from him throughout his teaching, is this: that we need to listen and follow. We need to know and apply. We need to hear and put into action. We need to understand and live out. Let me say it another way. I don't get any bonus points for knowledge. You don't get any bonus points for just knowing. If you know so much about Jesus, if you memorize scripture, you meditate and marinate on scripture, you go into in-depth Bible studies on Jesus, but you never live it out. You never apply it to your life. It's just all head knowledge. It doesn't impact the way that you live. There's no bonus points for that. There's no solid foundation for that. I mean, come on, that's pretty rough, right? I have like 4 years of higher education all focused on Jesus. My master's, my doctorate. I've read commentaries. I've read scripture over and over, so many books, listened to so many sermons. And it means nothing. It's of no good if I just have that knowledge. But it doesn't impact the way that I live, the way that I view the world and interact with the people around me and interact with my Heavenly Father. No bonus points at all. But when we learn Jesus, when we take that knowledge and we bring in the application, when we begin to follow it, when we obey it, it is knowing and applying that is the strong foundation, that has that life that will not collapse. It's not one without the other. It's both and. Listen, follow, hear, obey, know, apply. It's both and. If we miss one or the other, our life will end in this mighty crash. Jesus continues to talk about the importance of going beyond just knowing. Verse 26, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus is saying the same thing, just from a different angle. If all you have is that knowledge, but you don't apply it, you don't obey it, you don't live it out, no strong foundation. Eventually, your life will collapse. When the storms of life come, and they will, if you've had all this knowledge about Jesus, but you've not been living it out, your life will collapse. And don't miss this. It's the same storms, right? Those financial crisis, health crisis, relationship crisis, all the same crisis. And if you know and you've been applying or following and obeying Jesus' teaching, same exact storm, your life, the foundation is strong. Your life will hold onto that firm foundation. Same exact storm, but you've known about Jesus. You've studied Jesus. You've read about Jesus, but you've not been living it out. You've not been applying it. You've not been obeying it. Your life will collapse. Same storm, no worse, but very different results. So let's take two case studies today. We'll even just stay in the Beatitudes of what does this look like to learn Jesus and to know Jesus and apply it to our lives. So let's start off with this first scenario. You've been doing great, man. You've been learning Jesus. You've been living out, you know, what it means to be a disciple. You get that being a person of integrity matters. You understand that character counts. You're not living a lie or telling a lie. You're not embellishing the truth all that often. You are helping those that are in need, the poor, the hungry, the hurting. You're coming to understand more and more what character of Jesus looks like and how that can be formed in us. The fruit of the Spirit, man, it is evident in your life and it is growing. But despite all these things that you're doing and you're following Jesus, people start to talk ill about you. There's some people that are saying and spreading lies about you. People are tarnishing your reputation. And you feel like, man, I'm doing everything right. I'm following Jesus. I'm living this out. I'm learning Jesus. But it's so hard. Colleagues or peers question you. Friends abandon you. And you're just feeling persecuted. You're feeling persecuted for doing all the right stuff, living in the way of Jesus, learning Jesus, knowing and applying Jesus, and you just feel persecuted. Is your life shaken? Is your foundation solid? Or is the world around you beginning to collapse? I mean, it's hard, right? But you've been learning Jesus. You know Jesus. You've been applying what you've learned about Jesus. You're living it out. You've both heard and you've obeyed Jesus. And because you've been learning Jesus, you remember his words. You know his words. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The storms of life come. The storms of life go, but your foundation is rock solid. Because you know words of Jesus like this, and you just don't know them. You've been obedient to them. You've been living them out. You rest in the truth of Jesus, who he is, what he taught, and what he has promised. You didn't fall into the lie. You didn't believe the lie that being a disciple of Jesus would be easy. you don't diminish things in Jesus' life like when one of his closest followers, one of the 12, experienced the same 3 years of life and ministry with Jesus that the 11 other disciples did, but then abandoned Jesus, sold him out. You understand that persecution can be a part of the life of a follower of Jesus. And persecution doesn't always come from the outside. It often comes from the inside, from even other people who say they are Jesus followers. And because you've been learning Jesus, knowing and applying what Jesus has taught, your foundation is rock solid. Let's go back to where Jesus is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verse 21. And Jesus says it over and over. And this time in chapter 7, he says it like this. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven." Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And you know, if it was all about knowledge, it would be only those who know. Only those who have read, only those who have studied. It is about putting it, applying it, being obedient to Jesus' words, to his teaching. Once again, no bonus points for knowledge only. So let's take a second case study. Let's stay within the Sermon on the Mount. You can do a case study from anywhere in the gospel. What does it look like to learn Jesus? Let's take something very simple. It's not complicated at all. It's not controversial at all. It's not emotionally charged at all. But everybody's talking about it. Sarcasm is included now. Let's talk about war. What about Israel and Gaza? What about Russia and Ukraine? Can you engage in conversation? Because everybody seems to want to talk about this. Can you engage in conversation from a worldview of Jesus? Is there anything from learning Jesus that you can bring into the conversation? In other words, is being a disciple of Christ, is being a disciple of Jesus, does it influence at all your talking points? Does it influence at all what you have to say? Jesus, once again, in the Sermon on the Mount, turning the world upside down, says, "You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." You have heard. You've heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And Jesus is like, you know, here's the law. Here's, you know, what it said in the old covenant. But I say. And you and I both know followers of Jesus who just totally avoid this teaching of Jesus. Don't apply it to their lives at all. We know that because we've done the exact same thing before. And really, aren't the discussions about war so much simpler if you don't listen to the words of Jesus, you don't learn the words of Jesus, you don't apply the words of Jesus? Isn't it simpler to just have a tooth for a tooth and eye for an eye? Isn't that so much simpler? What Jesus teaches, what he says, is so countercultural. So what does that look like for you and I? How does that impact our worldview? What on earth does it look like in today's world to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, to give beyond what is taken from us, to pray for those who persecute us? I got a feeling I'm not the only one that struggles with this. I'm not the only one that wrestles with how on earth do we apply Jesus' teaching? How do we live this out? How are we obedient to this in our own lives? Here's what I want you to do. Don't erase the tension. Don't minimize this. Instead, embrace that tension. Wrestle with it. You don't have to have it all figured out to begin to apply this. Dallas Willard says it like this. He says, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of heavens into every corner of human existence. No one said that learning is easy, did they? To know and apply, to live this out. And I think a great question to ask is, who are you a disciple of? Who is your primary leader, teacher? In whose way are you following? A disciple, if we can find that slide, a disciple knows that they're a student. They know that they need a teacher. And a disciple is made, not born. And a disciple follows their teacher and puts what they learn into practice. So who are you a disciple of? I mean, come on, there are so many things, so many good things that we can be disciples of. Some of you, okay, I could have conversations with you. You're a disciple of like sports. You could tell me all the stats of your favorite sports team. You can quote your favorite athletes. You know all about them. Some of you, I mean, it's all about that actor, actress, that musician. I can lean the conversation and say, man, you can tell me so much about Taylor Swift, all about the latest concert tour, the movie, all the different genres, all the different albums and what order and what they're really all about and what they mean. You can quote her all the time. Some of you, you are just like glued to your TV, to like a news channel or to like a politician. That gets a huge chunk of your time, and you are following them. You know what they say. It is impacting your worldview. And I'm not saying any of that is bad, but what I'm asking is, who are you primarily a disciple of? Who is impacting your worldview, the way that you view the world? You can be a disciple of all these things, but primarily, if you're a disciple of Jesus, he is the one that we are learning. He is the one that we're knowing. He is the one that we are applying to our lives, that we are living out. It's a good one to wrestle with this week. Who are we really a disciple of? If you're spending all of your time with this, and this whole idea of spending time learning Jesus get so little of our attention. Be real. Who are you really a disciple of? Who's really impacting your life? On your connection card, whether you're in person or online, it reads like this. Love to learn from you. What habits help you learn Jesus? What habits in your life help you cultivate knowing and applying, hearing and be obedient? Knowing and living out Jesus' teaching. What habits really work for you? And then which areas of learning Jesus would you most like to grow in? Do you really just need to spend time knowing more about Jesus? Or is it you already have a decent amount of knowledge, but how on earth do you begin to apply what you already know to your everyday life? So in your small groups, embrace this discussion. Take the time to carve out every single week just learning Jesus. Reading through the Gospels, hearing Jesus' teachings over and over, meditating on that. And then when you encounter teachings of Jesus, how on earth do we apply that to our lives? How do we live that out? How are we faithful? How are we obedient? Let's pray. Father, we just confess that there are many times that our discipleship has been in the wrong direction. That there are the things of this world that are impacting us more in how we view one another, how we view the world around us, how we even view and interact with you, than what you, our Lord and Savior Jesus, do. So may we have this commitment, this missional habit to learn Jesus week in and week out, to not just know, to not just study, to not just memorize, but to go beyond that, to be obedient, to apply, to live out. May our worldview, the way that we view you, the way that we view the people around us, be influenced by the teaching and the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we understand what that rock solid foundation looks like. Not just knowing, but applying. May we faithfully learn Jesus together. May we come before you as disciples, people in need of a teacher, people who want to grow, people who want to reflect your kingdom here on earth. People that want to bring your love and your peace and your character and your grace and your forgiveness to a hurting and broken world around us. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.